Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Lewis Fine, and as always, we have a great show for you today with Kevin Guz of Homevestors Dallas. Kevin's going to be talking to us about the question concerning what's a good rental property? Well, it depends on who you ask, and Kevin is going to go into detail about that because there are many rental properties and there are many things you need to do to buy the right rental property or to refurbish the right one, and he's going to explain that. With that having been said, let me bring him on the program. Kevin, welcome.
Hi, Lewis.
Hi. So tell us, what constitutes a good rental property?
Well, I tell you, there's no one single answer, and regardless of how many people you ask or how many calculations you run, you are probably going to get exactly that many different answers. And I remember when I was starting out as a weekend or part-time investor, I found myself constantly faced with the same question. So I have found a house that I like in a neighborhood that I like at a price point that I like, and I had high confidence that I could rent that property. But it always begs the question, and it should beg the question, despite all those factors, still going to be a profitable rental property investment. And I was, as a part-time or new investor, I was very overwhelmed, I'll have to admit, with all the different measures and calculations and criterias and hurdles that I saw and learned and heard about and talked about with other investors. It seemed very unclear, very inconsistent, and very overwhelming. And so I think it's a common question that many new investors have, and I'll speak from my experience, even as a tenured investor. I often question myself, am I using the right measures, the best measures? Am I calculating them correctly? And am I interpreting the calculations correctly in order to ensure that I'm buying the best property and going to get the best possible return in comparison to some of the other investment opportunities that are out there in real estate? And so that's why I think it's a relevant topic. And yeah, the question that you're probably asking yourself as a new investor is, you know, first and foremost, is it a good rental property investment? And that translates to, for most of us, is it going to generate a decent, positive monthly cash flow? You're probably also wondering, well, gosh, how do I even know if it will? Isn't that a little speculative, or isn't that a little bit of a crystal ball that I need in order to know? You know, what calculation or what measure should I use so that I can have confidence and so it doesn't seem speculative or risky? And then finally, you probably or you may be asking yourself, isn't there just one simple measure, one simple calculation that I can use, that everyone uses, that we all calculate, determine, and interpret the same way? And that will clearly indicate whether or not it's a profitable rental real estate investment. And these are all great questions, and these are all questions that I've had in the past. And sometimes I find myself, even as a tenured full-time investor here in Dallas, I find myself questioning and find myself asking these same questions to myself. So let's try to simplify and let's try to clarify with respect to what can you do as a new investor in order to have a high confidence level that a potential real estate investment property, whether it's a single family home, a condominium, or a townhouse, how can you determine if that's actually going to be a good, solid, profitable real estate investment? So let's first talk about what you need to know. And here are 9 numbers that I always compile when I'm doing my due diligence and trying to determine whether or not a potential real estate investment will be a good one as a rental property or as a buy and hold investment. First of all, I want to know the monthly rent that I can get off that property. And you can get that in a variety of different ways, from MLS comps, or there's a variety of different online sources. And, you know, you can look at, you know, what properties are renting for in that market, whatever your source is, to get a pretty good idea of what that property is going to rent for based on the number of bedrooms, the number of square feet, the number of bathrooms, the typical indicators or measures. Secondly, you want to be able to know what your monthly will be on the loan that you're going to take out to purchase that property. And you can calculate that based on, if you'll know your loan amount based on the price of the house. And you can use any Excel model, and they're free and available all over the internet, where you can simply type in the amount of money you intend to borrow, the interest rate that you believe you'll get, and the term or the number of years that you're going to borrow that money for. And you'll get your monthly principal payment. So you're going to want to know that. Third, you want to know that monthly interest payment. You'll use that same tool that you get off the internet, that loan amortization tool. And it'll tell you, hey, if you're borrowing this much money for this many years at this much interest, here's what you're going to have to pay every month in interest in addition to that monthly principal. You want to know the annual property taxes for that property. You can get those off the county records. Those are free and accessible online. Fifth, you want to know the monthly insurance payment that you're going to have to make, your hazard insurance to protect that asset against wind, hail, fire, water, etc. And the next thing you'll want to know is what you think you'll have to spend on a monthly basis or an annual basis in terms of repairs on that property. And there's some general assumptions that you can make there that I'll talk about in a minute, since you may not know what's going to go wrong, how many times the toilet might leak or the roof might leak or a window may break or something else, or the air conditioner might go out. You want to know if there's any HOA payments due on that property, and you can get that off the MLS listing, for instance, if you're purchasing the property off MLS. But you want to know what that cost is on an annual basis. Number eight, you're going to want to know if there's any property management fee that you're going to pay. You may be managing the property yourself, and there will be no fee, or maybe you're going to get a third party to manage it for you, and there will be a monthly fee you'll have to pay. And then finally, you're probably going to want to factor in some sort of assumption for the fact that, hey, despite my best efforts, that property may go vacant at times in between tenants. And that's going to cost me money because I won't be generating rent or revenue during those times. So you want to make an assumption on vacancy, often referred to as a vacancy factor. So with these nine numbers, as I mentioned, some of them are real easy to get, and some of them you may have to make some assumptions. Let me help you with the assumptions. On vacancy, if you choose to factor in vacancy in your calculation, I see numbers being used as high as 15% of your monthly rent should be set aside under the assumption that that rent will be lost due to vacancy throughout the year, which is basically losses due to the time the property is vacant in between tenants. Property management, a good safe number is to take 10% of your monthly rent and set that aside as your expense for property management. And then homeowners associations, like I mentioned earlier, you can get those off the MLS listing or the wholesaler who's selling the property or the seller who's selling the property. Now, secondly, what do you do with these nine numbers now that you have them? Well, a great measure that I've used and continue to use is called the debt service multiplier, or you may see it also referred to as the debt service coverage ratio. These nine numbers are the inputs, and they'll calculate debt service coverage ratio, otherwise known as a DSM or a DSCR. Calculation's really simple. First, you calculate your annual net operating income for that property. Very simply, using those nine numbers we just discussed, take your rent minus taxes minus insurance, minus repairs, which, by the way, a good assumption is 5% of your rent to be set aside to go to repairs, minus vacancy. Remember we said 15% of your rent set aside for vacancy, minus HOA dues, property management. That gives you your annual operating income off of that property. Secondly, you calculate your annual debt service. Very simple. Take that monthly principal payment plus that monthly interest payment, multiply it times 12 months to get your annual debt service. This is the amount of money you're going to spend over a 12-month period in order to service your debt or pay your loan, comprised of principal and interest. Your annual net operating income, the money you're going to generate off that property over a 12-month period as a result of renting it, and you've got your annual debt service, the money you're going to pay for that property in the form of monthly principal and monthly interest payments, you simply divide that annual net operating income by the annual debt service number. And I'd recommend using an Excel spreadsheet to do this. Set this model up because you want to use it again and again. And you can even find these models for free on the internet also. Now, you've done your calculation. You're probably going to end up with a number somewhere around 1. It may be lower than 1, which, by the way, would not be optimal. It may be higher than 1, which is where you want to be. Ideally, you know, that number is going to come out somewhere between 1. To give you an idea of what's good, what's bad, or how to interpret it, which is one of the questions we mentioned earlier, most lenders are going to want to see a debt service multiplier, your annual net operating income divided by your annual debt service, of a 1.25 or higher. You know, if you've got a 1.25, you've got a good rental property investment by most standards. You're going to get the cash flow you want. You're going to have the cushion to cover the unanticipated expenses like repairs or vacancy or the planned expenses like HOA and property management. So you want to ideally shoot for around that 1.25 range. And what's interesting is you may come across investors, like I mentioned earlier. Everybody's going to have a different answer. Everybody's going to have a different calculation. And everybody's going to have a different interpretation. You may have investors that say, hey, a 1.0 debt service multiplier is fine for me, meaning as long as my annual net operating income covers my annual debt service, I'm fine because I know I'm getting monthly equity from the principal pay down that my tenant is doing for me, and I'm getting monthly appreciation on the appreciation of that asset. But here's the catch. When you go to get a loan for that property, there's a pretty good chance your lender is not going to accept a 1.0. So that's why I recommend targeting at least a 1.25 debt service multiplier, because most lenders, that's what they're going to see as optimal. That's the properties and the assets and the investments that they're going to want to lend on. So regardless of your own personal objectives or your own personal goals, you've got to think about your partners, your lending partner in particular, and what is their goal and objective. And you've got to find assets that will meet their goal and objective also if you want to get their funding. So in conclusion, keep in mind, I wish I could tell you there was one simple measure, but there's not. But the debt service multiplier is a good one and a widely used one. It's an easy indicator. Good chance your lender's using the same indicator. Whatever you do choose to use and however you do choose to calculate it, just make sure you've got a measure, at least one good solid measure that you're using to analyze your real estate rental investments.
As always, great points. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lewis.